Welcome back, everybody. This is DJ Aventura, and you are listening to Rhythms of the World, only on Penguin Radio, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. Guys, it is a new week. A lot went on this past week. It was intense. COVID, elections, own personal stuff of myself. It's just been a crazy week, but I'm glad to be back here with you guys and talking about traveling, talking about music, and anything to get me distracted from the everyday chaos going on. I do want to talk about it a little bit, though, because I feel like it's important to talk about stress and anxiety, depression, any sort of mental illness or mental, I don't want to say problem, because sometimes, yes, they can be considered problems. Stress, if you are too stressed, it can eventually turn into actual physical problems. But I think what I'm trying to say is it's important to talk about mental health and talk about why we feel the way we feel, how we can help ourselves, understanding that it is something that's universal. It's not just something that happens to us. We are not alone in this fight, in this situation. So yeah, I do want to talk about it a little bit, if that is cool, which it is because I'm the one in charge. And then we'll get into talking a little bit about where we're going today. So just bear with me for a few minutes here as we talk about the events of this past week, and then we will talk about how I'm kind of coping with them. So it's wintertime, and wintertime has, for the past 2 years, been kind of tough for me. I mean, the election definitely, obviously, was a roller coaster ride of emotions. I don't know if you guys have all seen the memes. I think that's my favorite thing that has come out of that. I don't know if anyone has seen, I'm sure you have seen the memes or watched the videos of the "You about to lose your job" song. I've told you guys I don't like to get political, but yeah, I was super for Biden Harris and am glad at the turnout that we have. Although apparently some people cannot seem to realize that they lost, but you know, we are moving on, hopefully, as well as the rest of the world from these elections. It wasn't the blue wave that many people were hoping for, but the outcome was a good one. That's not to say that the work is done. The work is really never done in terms of fighting for equity, equality, freedom of religion, of speech, of everything. Like, these are things that were actually really, really in danger under the administration before the one that's coming in, the technically still current administration. They were, you know, threatening to take these things away from us. A lot of rights for LGBTQ, for women, were being questioned, and it's hard to think about. And I'm telling you, I feel much better now, but it's crazy to think about where the next 4 years would have gone had the election turned out a different way. But besides that, obviously, COVID is increasing at pretty high numbers. I'm also really frustrated with the way we've handled COVID here in the United States. I mean, places like New Zealand, Australia, a lot of European countries are actually starting to open back up because they were able to control it, or they were able to have their citizens participate in, you know, wearing masks, staying at home, sheltering in place 6 feet apart if you did have to go out. They were paying attention to these rules and understanding that it wasn't just something that affected them. This was a global pandemic, not just in the United States, not just in their hometown where, you know, it could be controlled. It was global, and that meant it had to be a global effort to combat it. But anywho, we were hopefully slowly but surely get through it, because there's a new administration in, and they will hopefully start kind of putting things in motion as soon as possible. But as I mentioned, winter or fall, I guess it's not necessarily winter yet, but kind of the later months of the year start to get hard for me because I did lose my dad in August of 2018. And so every time this time comes around, he was a logging truck driver and he got in an accident. So he passed away. And in the wintertime, they typically wouldn't work, the logging truck drivers, because it was too cold, too wet for them to be out. They were harsh, dangerous conditions. And so they would get to be home. And so it's tough now not having my dad here during this time. After having been so used to him being here, we would often go to Mexico in December. And so it's tough. But I like to be able to talk about this. Like I mentioned, it's so important to express our feelings to whoever may need to hear them. If there's someone out there who is listening right now, I understand the feeling of loss. And if you need someone to talk to, there are so many like emergency mental health crisis numbers. If you're ever feeling depressed, sad, or just need someone to talk to, definitely call them. I can pull one up for you right now. The SAMHSA, the SAMHSA National Helpline, is a free confidential line that you could call. It's 1-800-662-HELP. Go ahead and give them a call if you ever feel like you need to talk to someone, guys, because this stuff is important. And I like to keep my shows upbeat and happy and talking about travel and music, but I know that these things are going on in the world and this stuff is real. So I do think it's important to talk about. But yeah, thanks for listening to that little segment of, you know, mental health talk, mental health discussion. Let's move on, though. Let's get into something a little different, something we're used to a bit more. We are going to a country we have not even been close to. I think closest thing we got to maybe Italy. I don't know what's closer, if Italy or if one of the South American countries we talked about is closer, but you from South America, you have to cross all the way across the Pacific. From Italy, you have to cross what is all of Asia, much of the Middle East. We are talking about South Korea today, guys. I decided to talk about Korea because I felt like we did a lot of the Western hemisphere of the world, and we talked about, you know, Mexico, the Caribbean, we talked about a lot of Central America, we talked about a European country, but I thought it would be cool to talk about a country we have not been near. So let's dive right into that. So if you are visiting South Korea, you have to 100% visit Seoul, which is the capital of South Korea. In Seoul, you'll find a mixture of the modern architecture, modern buildings, modern people, but you'll also find a mixture of the ancient history mixed in, definitely. The importance of this mixture, I think, is that you get to see the entirety of a developing country. So, I mean, not that long ago, what, 10, 20 years ago, it wasn't necessarily the most developed city and or country overall. But today, if you visit Seoul, if you visit Korea, you'll see these advancements that have come about. I mean, you'll see this modern skyscraper with neon lights next to some sort of Buddhist temple or a palace or pagoda, and it's a fascinating mix of the old and the new coming together. Another spot that I think you have to visit if you are in Korea is Busan. So Busan is Korea's second largest city. Tourists will often go to Busan to hike, to visit the Buddhist temples located deep within the region's mountains. The Beomeosa Temple, founded in 678 AD, is perhaps one of the most frequented temples in the area. And it's always packed with people who are there to worship, people who are simply just there to visit the area. There are different museums that offer like art. They have scenery that will blow your mind. The bird watching at the river, at the Nakdong River estuary. Busan is highly recommended. And by the way, guys, most of the information I'm getting is from travel blogs that other people have visited. But I did as well my own research and looked up, like, you know, TripAdvisor. And I have family members who have actually visited Korea. So I was able to talk to them a little bit about what it's like being over there and what the best places were to go. But yeah, I think we will leave it at there for now. We'll take a break, guys. This is DJ Aventura. You are listening to Rhythms of the World only on Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio. It only takes 3 seconds to put on your seatbelt every time you get into a car, and it just might save your life. Car accidents are unavoidable because they are, in fact, accidents. But the choice you make to put on your seatbelt every time you get in the car can change the outcome of a potential accident. Make sure you and your loved ones buckle up every time and help save lives.
Welcome back, all you music enthusiasts and world travelers. This is DJ Aventura. You are listening to Rhythms of the World only on Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. Guys, I wanted to mention something that happened to me today. This has nothing to do with Korea, but it does have to do with music. So I just wanted to add it in here really quick. Last night I was on TikTok, and I was looking at just random TikToks that were on my For You page, and one came up that was like if you remember these songs from the early 2000s or late 90s, early 2000s. And, you know, I have two older sisters, so I knew quite a few of the songs, but there was one song that came up and I listened to it and I was like, why do I know every single word in this song? And it's like a memory that came out of the depths of my mind and just like surprised the heck out of me. And as there was singing that song, and it's only, you know, a few seconds of the song, so I go to look for it on my Apple Music and I find it, and I'm sitting there just absolutely knowing every single word to the song. And I texted my sisters, I was like, what song is this? And, well, like, I knew what song it was, but I was like, what is this from? Is this from a movie, or is this your fault that I know every single word of this song? And my sister texts back, she's like, that was me, you're welcome. So yeah, I definitely can give the credit for my musical knowledge to my two older sisters in terms of like time wise what song, older songs that I know today. But I just was baffled at the fact that I literally knew the whole song. And, you know, I think it was a song from 2003. It's called, it's by Stacy Orrico, who I like have no idea who that even is. But it's called More to Life, but in parentheses in French, it's There's Gotta Be More to Life. I won't play it for you just because we want to continue talking about Korea, but if you get a chance to listen to it, maybe you know it too. Maybe you've heard it before and you're just like me. But yeah, let's keep going, guys. We are going to talk about K-pop. So I'll intro this session with, or this little section of the show with my first experience with K-pop. I think most of you guys know the song Gangnam Style. And if you don't, I will play a quick clip here for you just so you can either be introduced to this song or refresh your memory really quick. So here it goes. Open Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. That was Gangnam Style by PSY. If you remember that song, okay, if you're my age, if you're 20 years old and you remember that song, you were probably like me at a 6th, 7th, or 8th grade dance. Absolutely busting down on the dance floor to that song. I don't know why that song was like the song. I'm pretty sure I was in 7th grade the year that that was a hit, because it came out in 2012. But I was like, this is such a jam. Like, who are you people on the benches on the side not dancing? This is so good. I loved it. I was obsessed with it. But at the time, I didn't realize, you know, it was Korean pop. It was just a song that I was super into. Now, doing my research, I come across it and I'm like, oh my gosh, that totally was Korean pop. Did I have any idea of most of what the song was saying? No. Did I know it was even in Korean? No. But there I was, absolutely loving it, absolutely breaking it down on the dance floor with my, I was going to say terrible, but honestly, they were pretty good moves. If for a seventh grader, for me, I'd say pretty good. But anyways, it was awesome. And so getting to learn about it, getting to see how it relates to what we're talking about today was really cool, guys. Yeah, K-pop, it is Korean pop. The pop is much of similar to what we have in America today. It actually stems from the influence of the United States, but I'll talk about that in a second. Let's just talk about what it is first. So it's a genre of popular music that originated in South Korea. It actually has influences in a bunch of different genres from around the world, things we've actually talked about already. So experimental music, rock music, jazz, gospel, hip-hop, R&B, reggae, electronic dance, folk music, country music, and classical on top of its already traditional Korean roots. That music can be described as music of Korea or of the Korean Peninsula, which ranges from prehistoric times to the division of Korea into South and North Korea in 1945. It includes court music, folk music, poetic songs, religious music that was used in shamanistic and Buddhist traditions. And together, all this traditional Korean music is referred to as gugak, which literally translates to national music. But the more modern form of the genre emerged with the formation of one of the earliest K-pop groups called Seo Taiji and Boys, which was in 1992. Their experimentation with different styles and genres of music, integration of foreign musical elements, also helped reshape the South Korean contemporary music scene. So they sort of modernized it. They took it to a whole new level. They created something almost entirely new out of a really good base of already their music. So that's really awesome. As you know, I love understanding the transition of music throughout the years. I'm not just a musical buff or a travel buff. I actually really enjoy history too, guys. Just so you know, maybe my next few shows will incorporate a little bit more history. But yeah, let's keep going. So modern K-pop idol culture began with a boy band called HOT, or HOT, which was in 1996. And then K-pop grew into a subculture that was enormous. It had huge, huge fandoms of teenagers and young adults. And then it was like kind of a slump in the early K-pop from, you know, 2003. There was TVXQ and BOA started, which was a new generation of K-pop idols that broke the music scene into Japan. So the Japanese market started to take in this kind of music, and then it started to build up as a more international style, and people recognize it internationally today. So especially with the development of social networking services, you know, Instagram, Facebook, all sort of social media, and then with YouTube, Biggie's songs and this type of music was available to the rest of the world. It was seen not only in East Asia and Southeast Asia, but it was popular in Pakistan, Bangladesh, India, Latin America, North Africa, Southern Africa, the Middle East, and then eventually throughout the whole Western world, gaining kind of a global audience. But the term K-pop becomes popular in the 2000s. The South Korean pop was called Gayo before it was K-pop. K-pop is, though, like the more recognized name for this style of music today, for sure. At least that's how I came to learn about it. And my cousin, who was, I think this was probably maybe two Thanksgivings ago. I don't remember exactly when, maybe more. But we were on, we like to take cousin drives, basically, when it's Thanksgiving or Christmas, where, you know, everyone's at home, everyone finished eating. You're sort of in that, like, we haven't gone to the all transition into the living room yet kind of style. I don't know how everyone else does their holidays, but we will typically do, you know, everyone gets there, we chat for like a tiny bit, then it transitions right into the eating. So we'll do a family prayer, we'll eat. Then after we finish eating, and because we have such a huge family, it's kind of like, okay, we eat, the kids or the younger people in the family will eat, then it'll be the adults, then it'll transition into whoever's basically left to eat, whoever didn't want to eat at the beginning, usually the kids. But at some point we all kind of transition into the living room, but there's a part time between where we take what are called cousin drives, and we'll just blast music and sing all our favorite songs. And this year it was, I want to say 2017, maybe 16, but I want to say 2017, we were on our cousin drive, and my little cousin was like, hey, can you guys play me some K-pop? And we were like, somewhat. And she was like, K-pop? You guys don't know what K-pop is? Are you kidding me? And I was like, no, we have no idea. Can you, like, give us an example? So she played some for us. We were like, whoa, what is this? Like, we had never heard it. I mean, besides Gangnam Style that I had heard before. But like I said, I had never realized it was an entire genre of music. But yeah, it's even something that we've talked about in my family. So I think that's really cool. But it is growing bigger and bigger by the year. I think I'm going to talk a little bit more about some of the current artists in K-pop in the next coming sections of the show. But yeah, I hope you guys are interested so far. It's awesome. And the fact that it is so big globally, I love that. I love it. But yeah, we will come back to K-pop in just a second, guys. We'll take a break here. As you know, this is DJ Aventura. You are listening to Rhythms of the World only on Penguin Radio. And now, top stories at the bottom of the hour for Thursday, November 12th, only on Penguin Radio. The election has been called, folks. The president-elect is Joe Biden, who was the vice president to President Barack Obama. And there has been a lot of drama with this election, without even including the COVID-19 pandemic that we are going through right now. There has just been a lot going on. The New York Times tells us that the election was actually the most secure in U.S. history. Government officials are telling everyone that the statement from a high-ranking official at the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency amounted to a strong rebuke of the current president, Trump's baseless assertion that election had been stolen from him. A growing chorus of Republican senators have said that President-elect Joe Biden should receive intelligence briefings. But they are officially contradicting Trump's allegations of voting system fraud. This means that President Trump should concede, and he has refused to concede so far, also putting the nation in a national security problem. We shall see what comes from this election in the next few days. Stay tuned, and we will continue to report for you. This has been Top News at the Bottom of the Hour, only on Penguin Radio.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio.
Voting is an essential part of our democracy, and democracy requires participation. And if I don't vote, someone else will, and I definitely do not want someone else deciding on laws that will affect me, my family, and my community. Voting is our civic duty, and civic duty is the rent we pay for living. So I hope everyone joins me in voting in every single election. For more resources on how to vote, visit www.eac.gov. This PSA has been brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio and the Communications and Media Studies Department at the Dominican University of California.
Welcome back, everybody. It is your host, DJ Aventura. You are listening to Rhythms of the World only on Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. So, let's talk about the importance of K-pop in Korea. Like we mentioned, in 1992, Seo, Taji, and Boys make their debut, and they mark themselves basically as legends, being the first K-pop group and paving the way essentially for the rest of K-pop to come after them. They included R&B and hip-hop in their music, and this led to musical groups like 1TYM and Drunken Tiger. And soon, the big three of K-pop were founded. So these are the music producing companies that manage essentially the whole business of K-pop in Korea. SM, JYP, and YG. So these groups became popularized soon after the Seo, Taiji, and Boys, and many groups kind of followed, including the legendary group Shinhwa. In the 21st century, K-pop's increasing popularity has formed part of Hallyu, a wave of Korean culture. So Hallyu included a variety of Korean culture, which was like dramas, soap operas, foods, films, music, and this all sort of transitioned the country into a more modern, industrialized place. So they kind of were catching up with the rest of the world through their music, through their food, through their films, through this like popular culture. And K-pop is a huge, huge part of that. The groups that were probably the biggest in like continuing the movement were Big Bang, Super Junior, Girls' Generation, 2NE1, and Wonder Girls. So this so-called rise of K-pop generated billions of dollars for the country's economy, and it placed it as one of the highest exports of South Korea. So yeah, these people, the people who were in these groups as a whole, were amazing commodities for the country to make money. They were essentially like boosting the economy. As I said, they didn't have a large, they don't have a large tourism income, so they base it a lot on K-pop. Every K-pop star kind of has their own beginnings in music. I wanted to talk a little bit about them individually. So to become a star, a K-pop star, you actually have to train. So it's a serious commitment, and it requires a lot of effort. I don't know. I don't think I could personally be a K-pop star after learning about like what they go through. So it's created, this training is created by the founder of the SM Entertainment, one of the production companies, whose name is Lee Soo-man, or Lee Soo-man. The training system is K-pop unique. So it is specifically for people who want to go into K-pop. It's rigorous. The trainees will audition or they'll be scouted. It's almost like a sport. But before they can debut in a group or solo, they have to go through years of training essentially to become these artists. And a lot of them start in high school and go through school and trainee life, which will eventually lead them to drop out of high school because of the like strain on their lifestyle. It's a huge, huge commitment. The one thing that I will say that was a little bit concerning for me, was that they're trained to actually eat less and exercise more in order to become thinner and have this like ideal pop star look. The trainee life for artists is really hard, and those with a full commitment can, you know, essentially break themselves down to become this idol. I don't know if I necessarily agree with this method of, you know, gaining fame, but to each their own. I don't like to judge other people's decisions and or traditions. If this is something that is valued in Korean culture, then I will wholeheartedly support that. But if it is something that is forced upon them, then I do find some trouble in that. But I will continue. Another thing that is interesting about K-pop is that many artists will actually undergo surgery to enhance their look because they want to look more Western, more American, or more European, you know, the Euro-centered European beauty standards that we have that have affected so many people. I want to touch on this a little bit. Like I said, if this is something that is normal in Korea, that's fine. But we have this obsession with the way, I say we, as in a Latina, being a Latina, and being kind of always working towards this beauty standard that's held here in the United States or in the more Western countries. This Euro-centered European beauty standard that we have where, you know, you're typically lighter skin, you have long hair, you have big eyes, a skinny pointy nose, and you are set. But I want to remind everyone that not everyone is going to look like this. This shouldn't be something everyone strives for. Like I said, you do what you have to do in the industry, and if that's something that you work towards your entire life and you feel like this is something I need to do in order to get where I want to be, more power to you. But I do want to emphasize the importance of, you know, loving ourselves how we are and working towards, you know, a better self internally rather than externally. I don't know, I might be just going off on a complete tangent, but I think it's important to talk about this, especially if I have any young listeners who, you know, are kind of trying to find themselves at this point in life. You do not have to look a certain way to be who you are. And I've kind of come to terms with that myself. Oh, a lot of talking about, you know, like mental illness today, huh? Or not mental illness, but like mental health and mental awareness and understanding who we are as people, as humans. I have super curly hair, and it wasn't up until my like senior year of high school that I learned to love it. I was obsessed with straightening it, having it as, you know, perfect as possible. And then I realized I love my curly hair. How come I never flaunted it the way I do now? And so it's just little things like that, you know, that we take for granted these things and strive for something that we might not be able to get to. And we put ourselves down for it, but we shouldn't. We're each our own person. We are beautiful the way we are. But continuing on, yes, many K-pop artists have undergone surgery to look more European, or, you know, they have the European beauty standards, as I mentioned. Before they debut, they will admire kind of Western looks and then go for surgery, whether that is a nose job or, you know, like filler in the cheeks or something. Not every single K-pop artist does this. A lot of them prefer to use makeup to change their appearance, but there are some who have decided to undergo surgery and change the way they look. But I did want to talk a little bit about the makeup of these groups. So there will be groups anywhere from 1 to like 7, maybe even more in these groups. And it will be either an all-girl group like Blackpink, or they will be an all-guy group. There are various other, you know, makeups of group, but they will come together and make some pretty cool music videos, some pretty cool collabs with new artists, which we'll talk about in the next section. But it's a crazy genre. It's so cool, and I'm excited to keep talking about this with you guys in the next section. But we will take a break now. As you guys know, this is DJ Aventura. You are listening to Rhythms of the World only on Penguin Radio.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio.
Citizens of California may ask the question, how can I vote? Well, Dominican University of California is dedicated to providing the answer to you, and here are a few voting methods you can use. Requesting a vote by mail ballot can allow you to vote from your living room couch, and all you have to do is return your vote ballot through the mail or return in person to your county elections office or on any polling place in your county, and you're done. Still confused? With any further questions you may have, you can text VOTE to go vote or call 800-345-VOTE. Stay safe out there and do not forget to go out and vote. This PSA has been brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio and the Communication and Media Studies Department of Dominican University of California.
Welcome back, everybody. This is DJ Aventura. You are listening to Rhythms of the World only on Penguin Radio. And we are talking about K-pop, all about K-pop today. I want to talk a little bit about the influence of K-pop on the rest of the world and touch on a few artists that have done some collabs with American artists and just, you know, keep talking about the genre, about this really cool, different and very foreign to me genre, but something that a lot of people love. So let's keep going. I wanted to talk about a particular difference between artists in the US and artists in Korea. So K-pop artists or Korean artists, like music videos that they will produce, will typically be a little different from the artists in the United States in that they will be more colorful, more appealing to the eye. There will be a lot more, you know, like big flashes, sparks of light, colors, everything. Whereas with artists in the US, it'll typically have more of a storyline rather than choreographed dances or, you know, anything really crazy or big. And it varies. Some artists may very well do that depending on their style and the song they're singing, but it's pretty universal to see that in Korean pop or K-pop. Another difference that there is between the two is that K-pop, when performing live, will sometimes be backtracked, and the dances will be very choreographed. They will all be pretty much exact. And American artists or artists in, you know, the more Western world are typically stationary when they're singing. Occasionally they will have something a little more, with a little more flair. I think maybe award shows, they will definitely do something different. And at their concerts, it depends on the song. But most of the time, if you see artists like Ariana Grande, or who else am I thinking of right now? Like John Legend, you know, people who will use a piano, or Sam Smith, Adele, they'll be singing, typically just standing. There won't be as much choreography. Why? I have no idea, but that is what is typical of. But I want to continue with talking about a specific K-pop group that I've actually been listening to, not pretty consistently, but a few of their songs are now downloaded to my phone. This is Blackpink. So Blackpink is an all-girl group from Korea. They are part of the YG Entertainment group. The group consists of four female artists. Lisa, who is the main rapper. Jennie is also a main rapper. Rosé is the main vocals. And Jizo is the lead vocals. So I hadn't really heard any of their music until recently when I was scrolling through my TikTok, as usual, and came across one of the songs. Is called How You Like That. It has a really good beat. It's kind of EDM, sort of hip-hop, trap, all mixed together. It's really cool. I'll play a little segment of it here, so to go ahead and take a listen. So that was Blackpink's How You Like That. And another song that has been kind of on my radar these days is a song that they did with none other than Selena Gomez, one of my favorite artists here in the US, also a pop artist. And the song, I don't know how much I know about Korean style of music, but it's very much, when I watched the music video and listened to the song, I was like, this is totally like very similar to something that Selena Gomez would do right now in her work. And so you could see that, like, the reflection of both cultures in the music and in the work that they're doing, and like the artistry part of it in their music videos. So you could see these similarities, and I think that's really cool, particularly in the Ice Cream video. I'll play another segment of this song for you, just so you could hear what that sounds like with Selena Gomez. Yeah, so that was Selena Gomez and Blackpink's Ice Cream. They did a great job, I think, on that collab. I think it's so cool that they got to collab with Selena Gomez, who is kind of a really influential face right now in the United States, because she has spoken out about mental illness, about her physical illness. She has lupus, and sort of taking care of yourself and learning how to cope with stress, cope with frustration, anger, sadness, all these things that we kind of touched on earlier today. But she has a really big influence here in the United States, and I think collabing with groups like Blackpink kind of puts her out into the world a bit more. I mean, not that she wasn't already super famous in South Korea, I'm sure, and all around the world, but these topics then start to be brought up a little bit more. And in terms of Blackpink's exposure here in the U.S., I mean, it's great to have artists like Selena Gomez working with you. You get this entirely new fan base to kind of hop onto your own fan base. I think that's really cool. I hope to see more of their music, whether it's on my TikTok or just in general, so I can see kind of how I'm feeling about K-pop. Is this something I want to continue to look into and continue to explore as a genre that I would add to my favorites? Like I said, I last week was listening to Italian music, so I didn't understand most of that, and I was pretty interested in it. So we'll see. We'll see where this takes me. But overall, the K-pop phenomenon is crazy. It has taken over the world. As I mentioned earlier, my cousin was obsessed with them for the longest time. I knew, like, girls in high school would have all of their merch. And I think it was a little bit younger than I that started to really be infatuated with these groups. I don't think they were as big when I was a little younger. Otherwise, I would probably be in the same boat as those girls. But I can definitely see where their obsession comes from. This is a genre that will continue to grow, for sure. It's already really big here in the United States. It is growing in most of Asian countries, in Europe. It will continue to thrive, really. And I hope that the artists who are part of K-pop are genuinely doing something that they love and enjoy, and it's not as much of like a job for them, and they do it for their love of music and their love of their fans, definitely. I'm gonna continue looking into this genre and hopefully update you guys as we go here. Next week we'll probably be starting our final few shows for this semester, guys. I think I might bring it back to our home country, back into the United States, and talk a little bit about music that is popular right now here, our history, our musical history, because we are a mix of so many cultures. But I haven't decided yet, so we shall see then. This is your host, DJ Aventura. You are listening to Rhythms of the World, only on Penguin Radio. Chosen, played a part like Moses, keep it fresh like roses. Oh.